I'm John McChesney. This is The Connection. News about the economy hasn't been good for the past few months, but the news itself may be a big part of the problem. Peter Carlson of The Washington Post says the media responds to negative figures by going into an ecstatic frenzy of recession mongering. And Carlson goes on to ask, can you blame them? Being an economics reporter during the longest peacetime expansion in American history is like being a weatherman in Southern California. You get tired of talking about sunny days and blue skies and highs of 72. You pray for storms, mudslides, and earthquakes. Our Calvinist heritage may be at work here, too. After so much good, don't we deserve a comeuppance? And our president, doing the hard sell on his tax cut, pumps the downside of the economy. Turns out that our confidence is a key to the economy's success. If we expect the worst and behave accordingly, we may just get it. Call it the dark underbelly of irrational exuberance, but it's hard to keep a rosy outlook in the face of big layoffs and plummeting stock prices. Avoiding a downward spiral is our subject. Do we all have to run out and buy a new car or a computer to get things going again? 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Makes the new economy connection. Joining me in the studio is Bill Cheney. He's the chief economist for John Hancock Financial Services. Welcome, Bill.
Morning, John.
And on the line from Philadelphia is Mark Zandi. He's the chief economist for economy.com. Welcome, Mark, to the connection.
Good morning.
Bill, let's start with you. We've been working the weatherman metaphor pretty heavily here. We're looking out the window at a severe snowstorm right now, but it's not as severe as everybody was talking about. The weathermen have been on hyping the greatest storm since 1978, and we've had a lot of hyping of the downside of the economy lately. Is there any way to predict the future of the economy any better than we can predict the weather?
Well, there are some deep differences between predicting the weather and the economy, of course. The weathermen can hype the storm all they want, but it doesn't make it any worse. The danger with the economy, as you were saying, is that if we hype that too much, we may actually put ourselves into a tailspin. But the bottom line answer to your question is, no, it really isn't possible to forecast the short-term outlook for the economy with any great degree of confidence. Among other things, we don't even know quite where we are right now. We talk about Alan Greenspan having to drive the economy looking in the rearview mirror, but the reality is it's kind of a foggy rearview mirror. We don't even know necessarily whether we're in a recession until a few months later.
So we can't see forward or backward.
Not with any great degree of accuracy.
That's encouraging. Well, what about the long term? You put a little qualifier in there. You said we can't predict the economy in the short term. Are you telling me that somehow you can see further into the future?
The long term is a little easier. I mean, partly, obviously, as a joke, it's easier because it's a long time before anybody can tell whether you were wrong or not. But more to the point, there are some things which you know can't happen over the long run. For example, we could be very confident a year or two ago that stock market price-earnings ratios could not go on up forever. In fact, they were almost guaranteed to come down. We just didn't know when. There are a lot of things related to demographics. We know that we've got the biggest baby boom generation in history. And as that generation proceeds through the workforce, heads towards retirement, there are certain very predictable things that that generation is going to do, like save money, then spend it later, retire, cost more in health care dollars. Those things are very safe predictions. But the short term is anybody's guess, and I'm sure you'll be hearing some divergent guesses on this show.
Mark Zandi down in Philadelphia, we've been hearing a lot about the stock market. The NASDAQ, I think, has lost over half its value in the past few months. The Dow is down sharply. What does that mean for all of us? I mean, should we be looking at the stock market as an indicator or predictor of where things are headed?
Well, I think we do. I think the stock market plays a key role in how we feel about our economic futures. In fact, I think it's almost like a daily report card for how well we're doing. And it affects the way we think about our own financial situation, and affects the way we spend. It also, of course, is a very important source of capital for businesses, particularly the heretofore high-flying, high-tech companies that were using the equity market to finance their expansions. And now that the market's down and it's difficult for companies to raise capital cheaply, it's beginning to affect the ability of these companies to expand at least as fast as they were. Moreover, the fiscal situation of all levels of government, federal, state, and local, have benefited enormously from what's been going on in the stock market, all those capital gains that have been taxed and all those stock options that have been exercised and taxed at high marginal tax rates in various other ways has contributed significantly to the improvement in our fiscal situation. So the links between the stock market and the economy are very numerous, and I think they're very contemporaneous. So it is a good barometer of how well we're doing, and it has plays a key role in how the economy performs.
So it's been way down. Are we in the middle of a recession now? How would you describe where we are right now?
No, I don't think we are in recession, but I do think we're awfully close. I do think whether we actually slide into recession in coming weeks will be largely determined by confidence, how we feel about how we're doing. And if we lose confidence and thus retrench in our spending more than what has already happened, then the risk of us sliding into recession will rise and will probably ultimately end up in the soup.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're talking about the economy. Bill Cheney, are we in a recession? What do you think?
I do not believe we're in a recession. I don't think we've got there, and I don't actually think we're going to. The main reason for my confident statement here is that I'm really not willing to set myself up as being smarter than Alan Greenspan and his entire staff. And since they don't believe we're in a recession, and clearly they've relaxed a little bit over the last month in terms of doing anything about a potential future recession, I am fairly confident that we are not heading in that direction right now.
So, do you think we're headed in that direction?
No, I don't think we are. And I think, however, that Alan Greenspan's own comments and the subjects that you've been raising here are the key to the outlook. I think consumer confidence is going to be an absolutely critical issue. The question is not so much, has consumer confidence tanked? It has. That has definitely happened. The question is whether our spending is going to follow our confidence down. I don't think it is, and I don't think Alan Greenspan does, and that's why I don't expect a recession.
Mark Zandi, we've been seeing a lot of layoffs, fairly substantial ones, and people look at that and they get frightened. Is that a sign that we're headed into a recession, these layoffs?
Well, that's certainly symbolic of the problems that the economy is currently struggling with. There are many things that...
How is it symbolic? I mean, those are very real things to the people it happens to, and they're not symbols, they're realities.
Well, when you really get down to the numbers, they're not overwhelming. I mean, certainly they've risen considerably. I mean, just give you some numbers. In December, there were roughly 40,000 announced layoffs. In January, in November, it was about 40,000 layoffs. In December, it spiked to about 120,000 announced layoffs. And in January, it was closer to 200,000 layoffs. Now, I'm not discounting that. That is rather significant and does indicate that the economy is under significant stress. But to put that into some kind of context, the economy is creating about 150,000 net jobs per month. Moreover, a fair chunk of those layoffs are going to occur overseas. Many of these companies that are announcing layoffs are large multinational corporations with operations overseas. Some of the layoffs will occur now, but many of them won't occur for months or even years. I mean, Daimler Chrysler, one of the largest announced layoffs, is said that those layoffs won't occur for quite some time. And then finally, some of the layoffs are just an acceleration of normal attrition, people retiring and leaving, and companies just aren't going to hire to replace those people that are leaving. So the layoffs are important. They're representative of stress in the economy, but I think it's important to realize that they're not overwhelming. They're contributing to the weakness in consumer confidence that we're seeing. People are focused on them, along with the stock market and a number of other things. But I don't think that per se would suggest that we are in a recession or on the precipice of one.
Somebody said that that the businesses who are doing the layoffs to satisfy Wall Street, but in doing the layoffs, they in turn provoke the consumer's pessimism about the future and thereby depress the economy. I mean, it's a sort of self-fulfilling loop that they get themselves into. Right, Bill Cheney?
Yeah, I think there is a kind of loop here, and I think you may have mentioned in your lead-in that a critical link in that loop is the media, is the way that the media portrays the various announcements and the way that the media portrays how Wall Street has reacted to declining corporate earnings.
I've been waiting to beat up on the media. Since I'm part of it, I have to be gentle there. But let's do that right now.
Well, I think there's ample scope for beating up on the media. Personally, I think that one of the big problems that we face right now is that the media presents news about the economy and Wall Street as if it was the same thing. And while I agree with Mark Zandi that there are some links between Wall Street and the real economy, the fact is that they are two different things. If you see some yo-yo on television telling you that the stock market has plummeted yesterday, that doesn't mean that your job is in jeopardy today or that your pay is going to be cut. The link between the gyrations of Wall Street and things that really matter to normal people on, let's say, Main Street is not that tight. And I think the media discussion of these issues makes us way more depressed than we need to be.
Mark Zandi, do you agree with that? Do you think the media is to blame here for what we're seeing in the economy to some extent?
To some extent. I mean, certainly the media is magnifying the impact of all the things that are going on around us. And certainly we're all more attuned to what's happening around us, in part because of what's happened in the stock market in the last 5 years. I mean, 5 years ago, how many of us were really watching what was going on in the market or what was happening to the economy? But today, because more of us own stocks and because our stock holdings are much more important to us, they're right now the largest, most important asset in the household balance sheet, we are just much more focused on what's happening there. And it's made us much more sensitive to what's happening in the market and what's happening to the economy, because that's important to understanding what's happening in the market. So,
an awful lot of us have 401ks.
Exactly. I mean,
I watched mine carefully while it was going up. Now I haven't looked for like a couple of weeks because I'm afraid to look at the darn thing.
I think that's you're like everyone else. I mean, I really think what happened was, you know, we came into the end of last year, and half of us who own stock started opening up our 401k statements, and for the first time in 5 years, our nest egg was smaller than it was the preceding the quarter when we got our last 401k statement. And then others of us opened up our home heating bill and saw just how significant the rise in energy prices was and how significant that was going to cut into our purchasing power. And all this happened about the same time that we were supposed to go out and do some Christmas shopping. And of course, when you're less wealthy and you have less income, you're going to spend less. And so Christmas was terribly disappointing. Took a lot of businesses by surprise.
We're going to take a break, Mark, and we'll come back to that. 1-800-423-8255. Join our discussion of the economy. We have two economists with us talking about it. Bill Cheney from Hancock here in Boston, and Mark Zandi from TheEconomy.com. He's down in Philadelphia. I'm John McChesney. You're listening to The Connection from WBUR Boston and National Public Radio.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Coming up in the second hour of The Connection, the war on drugs. The film Traffic takes a hard look at the failing battle against...
Listening to The Connection, we're talking about the economy. 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're talking with Bill Cheney. He's an economist here in Boston, and Mark Zandi, an economist down in Philadelphia. And we closed with a little discussion that before we went into the break, we had a little discussion of those 401ks that we've all been watching. Bill Cheney, do you think that when we're watching those 401ks, that it has any impact on whether we run out and buy anything?
Well, that's the big open question right now. My guess is that it doesn't make a big difference, but it could, and that's what Alan Greenspan is worried about.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Barbara is on the line from Norfolk, Virginia. Barbara, welcome to The Connection. Barbara, not there. Let's try Chris from Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
I believe John said a few minutes ago the words depress the economy, and that's the first time in 30 years I've heard a journalist even come close to using the D word. And what defines the difference between a recession and a depression? I've often wondered that.
I certainly didn't mean to imply depression, but I may have used the verb. Bill Cheney, what is the difference?
You know, it's been so long since we had a depression that I'm not sure what a technical definition of a depression would be. At a gut level, it's simply a recession that goes on and on and on for a period of years rather than merely bouncing back right away. But maybe your other guest has something from graduate school that he remembers on this definition.
Mark, can you draw a line between recession and depression?
Well, Bill, I don't think there is a technical definition. I think you're right. It's just a matter of degree. A depression is a period of sustained economic contraction and just a much more significant economic problem. It's unlikely that we would experience depression on the order of magnitude of what we saw back in the late 20s and early 30s, just given that the structure of the economy is very different, and moreover, the institutions that we have to fight economic problems are much better today. The conduct of monetary and fiscal policies is much more sophisticated, and it's very unlikely that we'd find ourselves in a situation like that which we experienced in the 30s.
And we'd probably know it. Bill?
Well, the fact that we may feel depressed doesn't mean that we end up in a depression. I think there's no connection between the two.
1-800-423-8255. We're talking about the economy. You can join us, 800-423-TALK. David is on the line. And Chris, by the way, thank you for your call. David?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to guest your guests to address the difference between the two President Bushes and the way that they've tried to impact or tried to talk about the economy. 10 years ago, Bush the father was very hesitant to even admit that the economy was slowing down. But now it seems like Bush the son is trying to talk us into it appears that he's trying to talk us into a recession. And given how important consumer confidence is, what the president says really matters. I'm just wondering if they could talk about that.
Bill Cheney, do you think George W.'s discussion of the dire straits we're in to sell his tax cut is having a negative effect?
I must say that I was surprised when Bush and his vice president started talking about the recession, at least the possibility of a recession, back during the later stages of the campaign and before he was even inaugurated. It seemed to me that we didn't need somebody in a prominent place actually bringing that up and rubbing our faces in it. As far as the politics of it, obviously what he wants to do is sell his tax cut, and he is arguing that the tax cut will help do something about the recession. And I suppose, since we're talking about psychology and not economics, he could be right. It could be that legislating a tax cut right now would lift our spirits and prevent a recession. The money is not going to be in our pockets soon enough to do anything for the recession, but psychologically, who knows?
David, how confident are you? Are you going to go out and buy some big durable object in the near future?
I am not. I am like everybody. I mean, I understand why the psychology of everybody out here makes the economy go up or go down, but I'm doing the same thing. I'm a little hesitant myself. The other thing, talking about the politics, John, it does seem that there are more Republicans up for election in the Senate this coming cycle than Democrats. And if he is going to push us into a recession, either either accidentally or whatever, then they would hurt his own party, I would think, more than it would help him.
Mark Zandi, do you think the president's comments about the economy having a negative effect?
Yeah, I do. I agree with Bill. I mean, I was a bit surprised that they were so vocal so early on about the economy's problems in such a strident way. I do understand the politics of trying to sell the tax cut, but I'm not sure of how responsible it was to talk about the economy in such a way. I mean, in fact, during that same period, you had Chairman Greenspan out trying to talk up the economy. So they were really working at cross purposes. And, you know, I don't know that it's played a overwhelming role in affecting confidence, but certainly when your leaders are important and instrumental in influencing how we feel about the future, when they're talking talking the economy down, that certainly can't help.
There used to be a term called jawboning the economy, which was talking the economy up. I remember this actually from way back when I was a kid. Jawboning became, I haven't heard that term for a long time, but we're not hearing that kind of jawboning. We're hearing, I don't know what the reverse of jawboning is. I wonder if you think the president turned things around, whether or not, in fact, we're so easily manipulable. If he started saying positive things, we would suddenly start being more confident. Do you think that would be the truth? Well, that would be true, Mark?
No, you're right. I mean, I think what the problem was that, we were already on edge. We were opening our 401k statements. We were getting those home heating bills. It was brutally cold in December and early January. People were just generally in a bad mood. The layoff announcements were kicking in. A lot of things were just not going quite right. And then you have this kind of a discussion from our political leaders, and it just doesn't help.
I mean, it seems to me we're all kind of poised on the edge. We've had such a long, nice boom period that we're all kind of poised on the edge of what I was saying in the beginning, the sort of Calvinist overcast here that, gee, we've had it so good, surely we're going to have to be punished here pretty soon.
Right. You must be right. We certainly are on edge. But I do think things are starting to turn around. I mean, the Federal Reserve Board is being aggressive in easing monetary policy. The market is soft, but it really hasn't fallen much since the Fed started easing policy in early January. Energy prices are coming down a bit. We haven't yet seen it in our home heating bills and at the gas pump, but we soon will. The weather, and not the past couple of days withstanding, the weather has improved. It's more seasonal. California's electricity problems are at least off the front page. And now the administration is talking a bit of a different game. At least we're talking about tax cuts, not who would be the next president. So I think things are shifting in the right direction, but certainly we are. Confidence is fragile, and if anything goes wrong, any little thing goes wrong, I think we've got a problem.
800-423-8255. We're talking about the economy. You can join us by dialing 800-423-TALK. Bart, you're on the line with a connection.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I have a comment or perhaps a question that your guests could address. It seems to me your guests are addressing a very limited constituency. It seems to me that there are millions of workers whose work hours have increased, whose productivity has increased, whose personal debt has increased, but their wages have been stagnant for 30 years. So I don't know, when you say that things aren't that bad, I don't know who you're referring to, because millions of workers, things have been bad for quite a while.
Bill Cheney, is that true?
It is true. The fact is that millions is not a very big number in the U.S. economy. I mean, we have total employment of, 120 million or maybe even more. I lost track of the exact data there. And if we look at averages, we've had growth in the number of jobs. We've had fairly rapid growth recently in real wages adjusted for inflation. On average, obviously there are winners and losers. Some of the people who've been laid off from big manufacturing industries have not been able to get jobs at the same wages, or their wages have been stagnant. There isn't a tight connection between productivity growth in a particular industry and the wages in that industry. So times are tough for some people. And in fact, this caller has, I think, hit on a significant point, which is that these layoffs that we're looking at in the news now have been going on for the last 10 years. In fact, the process of lots of layoffs and lots of different new jobs being created is, in a sense, what's made the economy so successful over the last decade. But that's the economic aggregates. It's the averages. It's not focusing in on the individuals, the industries, the regions, which may have been suffering really quite severely.
Bart, a lot of people that you're talking about, in fact, have 401ks, and they're watching them go down with this. Do you have any sympathy for what's going on with people who own stock?
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah.
Somewhat, sure, because a lot of individuals rely on that for retirement and so on. I just wish that individuals like myself, of which I know there are many, many, actually had money to invest in stocks and were able to take advantage of a stock market that shot up 300% in 10 years. There was no way that I could take advantage of that, no way my family could take advantage of that, no way that most people I know could take advantage of that. So I hope that I speak for a lot of people in saying that it passed a lot of people by.
Bart, thanks very much for your call. 1-800-423-8255. You can join us on The Connection at 800-423-TALK. We're going to go now to Lynn Franco. She's the director of the Consumer Research Center of the Conference Board down in New York. Lynn, welcome to The Connection.
Hi, thanks.
Tell us what you know about the latest figures about our confidence about the future. What do we know? What are the stats you've got that can tell us what the American people are thinking about the economy?
Well, I think what our stats can tell us is we've seen confidence kind of tank over the last 5 months, and yet it is kind of painting two different pictures. We have one where consumers are telling us that the current situation is not so bad, that we're kind of in a period of sluggish growth. And yet their expectations are very dismal, and in fact, they're kind of at levels that we see prior to a recession.
Do you have any explanation for that, that kind of schizophrenia?
I think both your guests have kind of hit on a lot of the factors, really, that kind of have kind of divided the current from the expectations. Between the hype, energy costs, layoffs, and the stock market, consumers are really concerned as to where the economy is headed. Yet at the same time, they're telling us that we're not in a recession, nor are we close to going into one.
Do you break that down by income brackets? I mean, do you have a sort of class take on how people respond to your questions?
Yes, we do. And those that obviously at the lower end of the income scale are less confident than those at the upper end. Yet the trend really has been across all age groups and all income groups. It's been on a downward trend for the last several months.
So, Bill Cheney and Lynn, stay on the line. If confidence is the problem here, if our confidence as consumers is the problem, how do you get out of that loop? I mean, what are we supposed to do? And people who are listening to this program are supposed to rush out to Kmart and buy another appliance or start putting in a new wardrobe? How do you get out of the loop?
Well, I don't think it does any good to just say, don't worry, be happy, even if that would work if you could make it happen. Oh, I think the underlying question is the actual dynamic of how the economy works. If consumer confidence is going to lead consumer spending down, then we're in trouble. Consumer confidence has tanked over the last 5 months, as Lynn said. If consumer spending now drops like a stone, we will be in a recession before Alan Greenspan can do anything about it. The question is, does that part of consumer confidence that is influenced by the gyrations of the stock market and the alarmist news on television, does that really impact people's spending? Or is their spending really driven by whether they have a job and how much money they've got in their pocket? If it's the latter, we're okay. If it's the former, we may be in trouble.
Mark Zandi, what do you think we can do about getting out of the downward spiral? If it's mostly psychological and we need counseling out here in consumer land, what do you do?
Well, I think the Federal Reserve Board has to remain very aggressive in easing monetary policy. And I do think the Fed, even though it can't say it, should be focused on the stock market. If stock prices continue to sink, it's going to take confidence with it and ultimately spending. So I think the Federal Reserve Board has to be very attentive to what's happening in the market. And if investors are losing confidence, they need to ease policy to try to support the market and ultimately support consumer confidence. Also, I think fiscal policymakers should be working hard. If we are going to get a tax cut, and it looks like we will, they should be working hard to get that out to people sooner rather than later. The faster we can get a check from the Treasury or they can change our withholding schedules, the better off we'll be. And finally, I think policymakers should be having negotiations, private negotiations with OPEC to make sure that OPEC doesn't make a mistake and cut their production schedules too aggressively in coming months. If they do and oil prices spike again, then we'll have a real problem. So fiscal and monetary policymakers should be working very hard at this point. They're the ones that are going to make the difference at this point.
1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Larry, you're on the line from Potsdam, New York. Welcome to The Connection.
Hi. I have a question about the basic premises we use for describing our economy. When I'm told that I, as a consumer, need to go out and buy stuff in order to keep the economy healthy, I think that's kind of antithetical to what the word economy means. Similarly, you know, when we have natural disasters, that helps the economy. Wars helps the economy. I wonder if there's a way we can redefine what economy is that kind of addresses more truly what how well off we are. I don't see how we're better off if we all go out and buy a lot more things we don't need.
Basically,
that's a negative thing, I think, because we're using up resources and polluting in the process.
So, Larry, are you suggesting that we should get out of the consumer economy somehow? That would be an interesting feat.
Well, yeah, it sure would. I'm just looking for possibly a different way to look at this, kind of maybe a bigger picture view of the economy, taking into account what the word economy means.
Well, you're thinking of economy as pinching our pennies and putting things away for a rainy day. Bill Cheney, any answer to this?
Well, economists are basically trained to look at the world the way it is and analyze it and sort of assess what is going on. And the reality is that the way we have things organized in this country, if we stop buying things, the upshot of that is going to be a variety of layoffs, a decline in the overall level of production, and a significant unemployment. And that's pretty clearly a bad thing. What doesn't happen when we all pull back a little bit, increase our saving, perhaps economize, what doesn't happen is that everything sort of ratchets down evenly and we all lead a more quiet, comfortable, contemplative life. I mean, I remember back in college, you know, a devotee of Buddhism claiming that our real goal for the economy should not be satisfying the most needs, but reducing the needs. But
I don't think
that's not how we work.
No,
and
I don't think you'd get a great response out there from American corporations about that one. We're talking about the economy. You're listening to The Connection from WBUR Boston and National Public Radio. I'm John McChesney. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK.
From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Coming up in the second hour of The Connection at 11, even as the U.S. Drug Enforcement people brag about arrests
at Allaire.com.
I'm John McChesney. You're listening to The Connection, and we're talking about the economy with Bill Cheney. Bill is the chief economist at John Hancock Financial Services here in Boston. We're also talking with Mark Zandi. He's the chief economist with economy.com. He's down in Philadelphia. And we're also talking with Lynn Franco, who's a director of the Consumer Research Center of the Conference Board. And Lynn, I want to go back to you and ask you, what kind of questions do you ask people when you do your surveys out there? And do they know what you're up to?
Well, basically, I hope they know what we're up to, but we're just asking them five very simple questions. We ask them to assess the present situation regarding business conditions and employment, and then we ask consumers their expectations 6 months down the road regarding business conditions, employment, and income. And those five questions give us an assessment of, you know, not only where we're currently at, but where the economy is headed as well.
Well, Lynn, thanks very much for being with us on The Connection.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks a lot. I want to ask you, Bill Cheney, I'm normally from the San Francisco Bay Area, where things have been out of control, I have to tell you, with the economy. We've had a flood of youngsters coming in with making a lot of money, all, you know, very suddenly, and they've driven real estate prices right through the roof. So I think there are a lot of people who probably would like to see a little setback in the economy. That's probably true here in Boston as well and some other places. If you could push down real estate prices so some young people could afford to buy a house, I mean, there's something to be said for pushing the economy back into some realistic form.
Yeah, obviously it's true that home prices are a double-edged sword in terms of the economy and confidence. If you are sitting in a home and you're told it's worth $1 million, you probably feel good. If you're looking to buy it and you're told it costs $1 million, you feel bad. Right now,
real bad.
Real bad, yes. Right now, however, in this cycle during the 1990s, the home ownership rate has gone up to the highest it's ever been, so that I think something like 2/3 of American households now own their own homes. Mm. So you would think that the positive side of home price inflation would actually outweigh the negative in the confidence measures. But then when you talk about particular areas, San Francisco, Boston, I'm sure New York, probably Washington, D.C., major metro areas where there isn't unlimited land outside like Houston or Phoenix to build on, home prices have gone crazy, and there will be a comeuppance one way or another. Whether it will come from a national recession, a regional slowdown, is pretty unpredictable. And from the point of view of the individual who doesn't yet have a home, obviously the big question is, when the downturn comes, do I still have a job? If I do, it's good news. But if I don't, if no. I'm one of the losers,
no
then no house.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Edmund, you're on the line with a connection.
Hi. I do have a question. I'd like to explore a little bit the upside of this downturn in the economy. The way I see it is that it's funny. I was speaking to someone who's a recruiter, and for the past 5 years, actually 7 years since this high in the economy, that she's been, you know, we've got to increase our recruiting. It's been exhausting. She's actually kind of relieved that finally she can kind of sit back and actually think about what she's doing and think about how she can do her job differently. And I kind of can take that on a larger scale in terms of filtering out those who are really efficient at what they do and those who have been infected with, let's say, inefficiencies as a result of the rate of growth that they've experienced over the past few years. So there's multiple levels you could look at that, and I was wondering if you guys like to explore the upside of this downturn, and also if we look at individual savings. That's another big opportunity for what I see.
Mark Zandi, an upside to the downside?
Yeah, I mean he's hitting on something that you were just discussing, and I think it's important to realize that if we just go back as recently as a year ago, the problem that was most pressing was that the economy was growing too quickly. The inflationary pressures appeared to be developing, and the economy was overheating, and that was the reason why the Federal Reserve Board had been tightening monetary policy. And to some degree, what we've gotten in the past year is exactly what policymakers wanted to see. They wanted the economy to slow. They wanted the tight labor market to get a bit less tight. They wanted those inflationary pressures to abate. And all those things are happening. The problem is, or the risk is, that things go a little too far, that we lose confidence, we retrench in our spending, and the economy begins to contract. And that's the concern. But certainly, to a large degree, up to this point, policymakers are getting pretty much what they wanted, a much slower economy, economy that's just not going to generate the inflationary pressures that were evident a year ago.
So, Mark, do you think very quickly should the Fed have jumped in there and done another, I don't know exactly what the term is, emergency trim of the interest rate instead of holding off the way they did?
Well, my view is that they probably should ease now. The expectation is that they'll wait till the next meeting of the FOMC on March 20th, and I'm not quite sure why. They should act, I think, quickly to support confidence and ensure that things don't get away from them.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Edmund, thanks for your call. John is calling from Cape Cod. Welcome to The Connection, John.
Hello. I enjoy your show. I listen to it every day. My question was, I'm a retired person living on the Cape. I live in a nice house in a nice community. My property values have gone up probably 100% since I arrived down here.
That's the good news.
Which is the good news. The bad news of that is that you get taxed on that basis, and I don't think of my house as an asset. I think of it as a place I have chosen to live. I also have a 401k, which has gone the other direction, as everybody else is, even though I invest very conservatively. And the result of that plus the increase in fuel costs, gasoline costs, electricity. I have gas and electricity in the house, and then I have to buy gasoline. And all of those have gone up very substantially. Now, for anybody on a fixed income or anyone who is earning less than those millionaires in the world, those are very substantial effects on the economy, and I'm just wondering why people expect us not to go into a fairly serious recession if people like me represent a fairly substantial portion of that consuming group.
So, John, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your confidence right now?
Well, I'm a usually optimistic person, so, I think the market will come back, and I'm taking action in that direction. But I'm more worried about the person who has an income, say in the $30,000 to $40,000 category, and has to drive to work and is paying twice what he used to pay for gasoline, and he's paying very substantially 70-80% more for electricity and fuel oil or gas.
Bill Cheney, it'd be hard to persuade that kind of person that things are turning around when you're getting pinched badly. It's hard for even if the media were doing a positive job and the president was out jawboning the economy, it's tough to persuade people that things are looking rosy.
Yeah, this caller is absolutely right. I mean, there are key elements of what's been going on that really have been pinching pretty much everybody, and certainly if you are already financially on the edge, this could be putting you over the edge or close to the edge, whatever the appropriate metaphor is. I think the important thing to realize is, however, if you think first about the stock portfolio that the caller mentioned, of your stocks have gone up to such an enormous degree over the last few years that what has happened over the past year can only be reasonably described as a correction. The NASDAQ, the technology stocks, had gone up so far, so fast, that coming down this much, this rapidly, is not that surprising. You're still ahead of where you were a few years ago.
But as you were saying to me earlier, you feel a lot differently about when it's going up than you do about when it's going down. It's like when you're in Vegas and playing the slots. You feel really high when things are going up, and then you start losing it all back, and you get profoundly depressed.
I think that's right, and I think that is a very important phenomenon here, that we have enjoyed the run-up. We've attributed it perhaps to our own virtue and to the sort of merit of the brilliance of Alan Greenspan.
That we earned it.
That we all earned and deserved all the good stuff. And then when the bad stuff hits, even if it's not really hitting that hard, for example, oil prices, which were so low for a few years that when they bounced back up to something that in a sense is more normal, we regard it as painful.
It's because we're all driving SUVs now.
Well, that is indeed true. We've got away from the economy-conscious car design over the last decade in a big way.
1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Elizabeth, you're on the line with a connection.
Good morning. I have a question about something that's been bothering me for some time, and I don't hear it discussed. That is, what is the role of government spending in stimulating the economy? You know, I read the papers and look around me and see that the streets and the bridges are all deteriorating and the road systems. What would happen if the government were to ratchet up its spending on infrastructure, either directly or by grants to local government?
Mark Zandi, that's a kind of discussion we haven't heard for quite a while about government spending, priming the pump with government spending. We haven't had to hear it for a long time. Do you think that would help now?
That's an interesting point. In fact, you're right. Government spending after inflation, at least at the federal level, hasn't been going anywhere for the past roughly a decade. You know, it's a difficult question, though, because one of the very positive things that's happened over the past decade is that we've gone from experiencing huge deficits to experiencing surpluses. The expectations are that those will continue, and that's helped to drive down interest rates, which has helped to support the investment boom that we have been enjoying and has helped driven up productivity gains and the growth in our living standards. So the fact that the government has been so disciplined in its spending in the last decade actually has reaped enormous economic benefit. Now, having said that, at this point in time, given where we are, given that we are running surpluses, that we are paying down the debt, if we really wanted to stimulate the economy quickly, if we thought we were slipping into recession, the best way to do that would not be to cut taxes, particularly for wealthier individuals who would likely not spend very much of that, but the best way would be to actually increase spending and probably spend more on infrastructure like roads and bridges and dams and ports and airports and everything else, because that would be an immediate immediate boost to the economy. So it's an
Mark,
excellent point, and one that we haven't discussed.
Mark, let's stop right there and take one more call. Prescott is on the line with our final question. Prescott, welcome to The Connection.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment about the earlier discussion on depression and make two observations. First, generally, I think economists think a depression is a period of broadly declining prices. So I want to add that to the definition.
Keep it short, Prescott.
The second thing is Japan has been in a depression since 1990. It's a little offhanded to say we're not going to have one again.
Bill Cheney, you get the last word here. You have to make it short.
Well, I don't think that the American economy behaves anything like the Japanese. The remedies for the Japanese economy over the 1990s have been, I think, staring them in the face. They've just been unwilling to take the requisite steps. In America, we cut interest rates, and eventually, whether it's within 3 months or a year, we go out and start borrowing money to buy new SUVs and power the economy along. We don't behave like the Japanese. We're not going to have that kind of experience.
Thanks for your call, Prescott. Mark Zandi, you got just a few seconds here to make a final observation. Do you think we're going to turn this around and come bouncing out of it?
Yeah, I do. I think fundamentally the economy is on sound ground. We have our problems, but we're working through them. And I think if confidence is maintained, and I think it will be, we'll get through this period. And a year from now, we'll be looking at much better conditions.
Thanks to Bill Cheney, chief economist for John Hancock Financial Services here in Boston. Thanks for coming in, Bill, through the snow.
Thank you.
And Mark Zandi, who was down there in Philadelphia. Thank you. I don't know. Did you get snow, Mark?
He's not. We got a bit of snow, yeah.
Thanks for coming in with us. And we talk with Lynn Franco, the director of Consumer Research Center at the Conference Board in New York City. I'm John McChesney. You've been listening to The Connection from WBUR Boston and National Public Radio.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and by the Allaire Corporation. This is